Today is the first day of the month of Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, the last month of the month right before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And it's called Chodesh HaRachamim, as we spoke about last time. Chodesh HaRachamim, the month of mercy. The reason it's called Chodesh HaRachamim, the month of mercy, is because Moshe was on Mount Sinai during this month on Har Sinai, receiving the second Luchos, the second tablets. So it's a special time beginning today, 40 days until Yom Kippur, a month till Rosh Hashanah. So that is today, Rosh Chodesh Elul. The month of Elul is considered to be special because it prepares us for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it's called Chodesh HaCheshbon, the month of reckoning, the month of taking an account. So it's a month of preparation. So let me tell you a story, a joke. There was this guy who dies and goes up to heaven, and he comes to Gan Eden, comes to paradise, and the angels in paradise are so excited, big tzaddik, real righteous person, and they tell him, I'm sorry, you can't come in. So he says, I can't come in. What do you mean? He's a righteous person. Says, well, you're too righteous. We don't have a place for you. This is a joke, obviously. Everybody is has some imperfection, but you're so perfect that we don't even have a place for you. You have to go back down. We'll give you back your life for a little bit of time. And you have to go and you have to do something wrong, just so you should fit in with everybody else. All right, fine. So he wakes up, opens his eyes. The family is so excited. Anyway, he gets out of his house and he figures, I got to do a sin. He goes next door to his next door neighbor, who was always giving him tzaras his entire life. This guy, always when he parked, when he went, when he said, when he made noise, always giving him trouble. And he beats him up. As he's leaving the house, feeling so happy that he did this sin of beating up his neighbor, the neighbor's wife says, Mister, you don't know what kind of a mitzvah you just did. So that is the story. So this is a story of a mitzvah of beating somebody up, a mitzvah to kill somebody. We have in this week's Torah portion the mitzvah of Ir Miklat. That means the city of refuge. And the Torah tells us that if a person commits manslaughter, that means you kill someone by accident, the relatives actually have a mitzvah to kill the person who committed manslaughter, who killed their relative. And in order for that person not to be killed by the relative, you have to run away from your place, wherever you're living, the city that you're living, and you have to go to what's called an Ir Miklat, a city of refuge. The city of refuge was spaced, the Torah tells us, six cities were spaced proportionally throughout Israel so that everybody should have equal access to run to one of these cities. And if you were in one of these six cities, then you were be saved. There were three cities on the left side of the Jordan River, three cities on the right side of the Jordan River, and that's what happened. The Torah tells us in this week's Torah portion that when Mashiach comes, the land of Israel is going to become bigger. And it's going to encompass what's called the lands of the Keni, the Knezi, and the Kadmoni. It's going to become bigger. And when it becomes bigger, you should add another three cities of refuge, another three, so that the person will be able to run away if a person commits manslaughter and is being chased by the relative, because again, it's a mitzvah to kill this person. Then the person has to run away, and he's now in the land of the Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni, which is a new piece of land that Israel is going to expand to. This was part of the covenant that Hashem had given to Abraham, in fact, that eventually Israel is going to encompass this larger area. So then you have to set up, the Torah says, these three extra cities. Rambam actually rules that this is one of the signs that we believe in Mashiach, because the Torah says that this is what's going to happen, and it never happened. So when is the land of the Keni, Knezi, and Kamoni going to happen? When Mashiach comes. And this is a mitzvah to set up these three cities. So here is a clear proof, Rambam says, from the Chumash, that there are certain aspects of the mitzvahs that we cannot fulfill until Mashiach comes. Just like, in the Rebbe, this is the Rebbe's explanation, just like the mitzvahs themselves will never go away, so the mitzvahs we believe are forever. So too, if there's a promise that says that we're going to have these extra cities, and that's a mitzvah to do, and we haven't done it yet, and we're waiting for Mashiach to come, so that's a proof that Mashiach, from the Torah, that Mashiach is absolutely going to come one day, so we'll be able to fulfill this mitzvah. The Rebbe asks the following question. How could it be that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be even the possibility of someone to commit manslaughter? There's not going to be any jealousy. There's not going to be any accidents. Everything is going to be wonderful. How could this be that when Mashiach comes, not only will you still have the concept of city of refuge, Ir Miklat, but you're also going to need more, yet more cities of refuge, more Ir Miklat? The Rebbe answers a technical answer, and the Rebbe says that the person that killed before, it's true, you're not going to be killing any more manslaughter, any more accidents. You know, it's a person who didn't mean to kill someone, and the Torah gives the example, you're chopping wood and the axe head flies off your axe handle. Today we would say a car accident, God forbid. You know, it's a tragic accident. So when Mashiach comes, you're not going to have these things happening. The world is going to be in a perfect state, but you're still going to have people left over from before. So for at least the initial period of time, because again, had committed manslaughter beforehand, we'll be able to move into those cities. So that's a technical answer. So let's explore a little bit more. What does it mean, the city of Miklat, the city of refuge? And what does this have to do with us today? The month of Elul that we begin today, because as we mentioned today is Rosh Chodesh Elul. The month of Elul, the word Elul, has four letters, Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed. That's how you spell the word Elul. And it's back brought down in the Shulchan Aruch itself, in the Code of Jewish Law, that the month of Elul, a number of qualities to it. It has the capacity to give us the ability to do teshuvah. It has the capacity for us to be able to study Torah in a deeper way, in a better way. It has the capacity for us to do mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tzedakah, in a broader, in a more generous way. It has the capacity for us to be able to daven in a more meaningful way. And of course, all of this leads up to the coming of Mashiach. So there are actually five different acronyms, five different psukim, five different verses in the Torah, where there are four words in a row that begin with Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, or in the case of one of them, it's actually the reverse order of the word Elul backwards. And they allude to these five concepts. We call them in Hebrew, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, the study of Torah, worship of Hashem, which is davening, and Gemilas Chasadim, which is doing acts of kindness, giving tzedakah, and teshuvah, and the coming of Mashiach. In each of these cases, we talk about the idea that the month of Elul gives us extra energy, extra ability. In the case of the month of Elul dealing with Torah study, it says, ina liyado, I will have caused his hand, Hashem says, I will cause the accident. V'samti lacha, and I will give you a place where you'll be able to run away, meaning the city of refuge. So one of the acronyms for the month of Elul is that the month of Elul itself is a city of refuge. It's a place of refuge. And what does this mean for us on a practical level? It means as follows. Each of us have done accidents. We have committed manslaughter. Who have we murdered? Who have we killed? Our own little neshamalah. We're learning in Tanya that one of the reasons, the last chapter we studied, chapter 45, we were talking about how the Rachmanis it is on the neshama, that the neshama comes down from such a high level, and the neshama is subjected to a physical world, and yet more we heap insult on the neshama that we do things that the neshama is very uncomfortable with, our own neshama. So the Torah tells us that the city of refuge, which is the study of Torah, can fix all issues. And it's a mitzvah, the Torah says, to run to the city of refuge, because it's a mitzvah for the Goel Adam. The Goel Adam literally means the individual who is there to avenge the blood, but it doesn't say avenge. It doesn't say nokeim. Nokeim Hadam would be Hebrew for avenge. It says Goel Hadam. Goel Hadam means the redeemer of the blood. So listen to this beautiful thought. If the person chasing the other person, meaning the relative chasing the person who had killed his relative, was simply an avenger, he would be called a nokeim. He would be called an avenger, a person who takes avenge or revenge. He's not called an avenger. He's called a goel. He's called a redeemer. And in fact, where do we find the word goel? We find it concerning the coming of Mashiach. We talk about geula, which means redemption. We talk about goel Yisrael, and Hashem is the redeemer of the Jewish people. So by running to the city of refuge, the Torah teaches us, meaning by studying Torah, exactly by studying Torah, because this is what it's all about. Not only do we protect ourselves from the problems, the issues that we have caused, because we have caused issues. What is it? We have caused issues. We make ourselves our own tzaris. We make ourselves our own trouble. By doing certain things, we cut off our spiritual energy. We put ourselves into places, into boxes, into problems, into issues. So not only by studying Torah do we protect ourselves, are we at home base, a city of refuge where nobody none of our own issues can affect us in a negative way, but more so, we're actually goel, we're actually redeemed. We actually can uncover the good that's inside of us and get rid of the negativity. So much so, that the ultimate proof that Mashiach is here, the ultimate mitzvah that's going to be added when Mashiach comes, is to have yet another three cities of refuge. The Rebbe brings the concept of the cities of refuge actually means, this is from the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the concept of the three cities of refuge means that we're going to have additional insight into Torah. So when we're going to be adding three cities of refuge, which, as I mentioned to you, this even today we say that this refers to the study of Torah, it means that we're going to have deeper comprehension, deeper understanding of Torah. The Torah is not just going to be a dry study. And even if it's an exciting study, it's going to actually affect us. So a person is going to study Torah. First of all, you're going to get excited. Whereas today you study Torah, you say, oh, nice, you know, and I go back to do what I'm doing. But when we study Torah, when Mashiach comes, we're going to be, that's going to be our bread and butter. It's going to be our meat and potatoes. It's going to be dessert and coffee and everything else in between. It's going to be our vacation. It's going to be everything that makes a person perk up, that makes a person excited, makes a person feel full and satisfied. It's all going to be in the study of Torah. Because at that point, the energy that's in Torah is going to be apparent. The energy that's in Torah is going to be actually there for us to take. And all we're going to want to do is learn Torah. This, again, is what Rambam tells us at the end of his book of Halacha, the end of his book. He says, V'lo ye'esek, the job and the work of the entire people, is going of all the Jewish nation, is going to be to study Torah. Nobody want to do anything else. That's going to be the joy and the occupation of everybody, because that's where we're going to recognize the energy. So this is the month of Elul. So this is a little thought for the month of Elul. And I want to conclude by telling you another little thought from the Parsha that's, of course, related, because everything is related. The Torah tells us in this week's Torah portion also, it says, do not follow the black magic, the occult practices of the Egyptians that you're leaving. Do not follow the occult practices of the nations to where you're going, because the Torah says, this is the language of the Torah, they are listening to me'onanim and kosmim. They have methodologies of divining the future. They have ways of figuring out by looking at, Rashi says that they have a certain bone or a certain bird and they put it in their mouth and they look at it and they lean on their stick and they look at a skull, all a bunch of different stuff. And they were actually able to tap into energy patterns that exist in the world because, you know, it's not just Wi-Fi that we can't see. Our phones work. You can charge today with Wi-Fi, get electricity through Wi-Fi. So it's not just Wi-Fi that's in the radio signals. It was old-fashioned, way back when in the ancient generations that it was flying in the air. But there's actually a lot of spiritual energy currents, and we believe this in the Torah, that are there in the atmosphere. Some of them are good, and some of them are bad. And the Torah says, don't use your radio receivers, your old-fashioned cell phones, which may have been a skull or a bone or a crystal ball, who knows what, in order to receive these negative energies. Because, and this is the verse in this week's Torah that's really special, because you people, Jewish nation, you're directly connected. You don't need to go sort of around the, around and under the table. You don't need to scrape up crumbs. You're not a dog lying under the table eating the food. You sit at the table. You're part of the banquet. So what are you going on? Imagine you go to yourself. Imagine this picture. You go to a wedding. You go to a banquet. And maybe even you're being honored. And some food falls down. And the waiters are standing on top of you and they're waiting to give you more food and the delicious stuff and amazing stuff. And some food falls down. So you get up from your chair and you go under the table and you eat the food under the table. Person says, well, you're absolutely off your rocky. You're crazy. Let's play not normal. You're sitting at the table. You're the guest of honor. So Hashem says, in this week's parsha, the same thing to us. Hashem says, why are you going under the table, pick up morsels of stuff when you are tamim? Tamim tiya, that's the verse. Tamim tiya im Hashem alakecha. You should be wholesome with Hashem. And there's a beautiful explanation from one of the great commentators on the Torah called the Paneach Raza, mentioned to you many times. He lived in the 1300s. And he says as follows. He says, there is, when you open up the Torah scroll, there are certain letters that are written larger than other letters. Certain letters sometimes are written actually smaller than other letters. In fact, throughout the entire 24 books of the Jewish Bible, of the Tanakh, each of the 22 letters that we have in Jewish alphabet, there are 22 letters, each of those letters appears once larger and once smaller. In this week's Torah portion, the letter Taf, which is the last letter of the alphabet, appears larger. And where does it appear larger? Meaning it's written in a larger font. Not only is it the last letter of the Torah, it's the final letter of the last letter, not of the Torah, but of the alphabet. But he says, if you take the word Tamim and you switch around the letters, you get the word mesim, which means dead. So he says as follows, take a look. You could either be metim, mace is a dead, is death. Mesim means those who are dead, and that refers to what we call in Tanya the klipa, that refers to the negativity. Or you can have it straight and have tamim, and tamim is complete and wholesome with Hashem. So the Hashem gives us as a gift the month of Elul, when we can renew our tamim. So you gotten off the banquet chair, you've left the table, you're under the table, you're sitting there in the crumbs. Hashem tells us that I'm giving you a month during every single year to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, to prepare for Yom Kippur, to get back into the game, get back, dust off your clothing, sit back on that chair. I am personally going to serve you. Famous parable that the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, gives us Concerning the month of Elul, Hashem, the Rath Rebbe says it's a mashal, it's a parable to a king who wants to see how his people are really doing. But he knows that if he invites them to come to his palace, they are going to dress up and they're going to be on their best behavior. And then if he wants to know how they're doing, everybody looks the same. You go to a party and you want to know who's richer, who's poorer, who's happy, who's sad. You can't tell. Everybody looks good. Everybody is dressed up. Everybody looks smiling. So the king decides, I really want to know. This is a very loving king. I really want to know how my people are doing. And he says, I'm going to go to them. So he gets out of his palace and he gets into his carriage and he leaves even the cities. He goes out to the fields where the people are working. Today we would say he goes to the factories, to the blue collar factories. And he meets the people on their terms. And he asks each person, El Rebbe says, what do you need? Whatever you need, I am here for you. That's what the king is doing during the month of Elul. Of course, this is, El Rebbe says, this is Hashem. During the month of Elul, Hashem is there and Hashem is giving us energies, abilities, possibilities, encouragement, and in the manner of the five acronyms of Elul that I mentioned earlier, Teshuvah and Torah and Gavoda and Gemilas Chasadim, davening and giving tzedakah and learning Torah and doing Teshuvah and hoping and wishing and praying and the ability to witness the coming of Mashiach. So all of these five things, Hashem is there for us, and Hashem tells us, you guys are sitting right there at the table. Don't get off the chair. Don't go under the table. Stay, study Torah, connect, and I am there together with you.